Government is everywhere. Personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government? The premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government?
What in the world is going on? And more importantly, what in your world is going on? This is your host of Are You Real Government, Dub Alexander. I am a spiritual advisor to the influential, and I have a passion to see the governance of God, the kingdom, revealed, made practical, and implemented into every realm of culture, especially government. I love what Chris Vallotton says. If you don't care about government, it's because you live under the rule of a good one. If you lived in North Korea, for example, you would care deeply about the government. Today we will be discussing what it takes to move as a true kingdom statesman and how to bring kingdom influence to the government mountain. Before we get into that, though, I do want to remind you that you can catch the founder of the Are You Real podcast, the voice of manifestation himself, John Fuller, and his show, the original Are You Real, every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. I want to be sure to honor John because he has built an incredible platform here and graciously extended me the invitation to be a part of it, so be sure you check that out. You will be able to catch new episodes of Are You Real Government on Fridays, starting today, as it is my pleasure to welcome you to this inaugural episode, Friday, February 2nd, 2018. To fill you in a little bit on me and my journey, several years ago, I went through a program with a company called Living Life by Design out of Portland, Oregon. In this process, the facilitators leverage tools to help you discover, accelerate, and master your personal purpose. As I walked through the system, I discovered the true father's heart that I carry, and that there was a calling on my life to see not just the fatherless individuals fathered, but to see nations fathered. Which begs the question, how does one father a nation? I would submit to you today that the ability to do this occurs through developing the skill set and tools needed for the identification, calling out, and championing of the nation's individual purpose and destiny. As my mentor, Dr. Barry Linhart, always says, when I see a person, I see a nation. When I see a nation, I see a person. Just as a person is a triune being possessing spirit, soul, and body, the spirit of the individual containing the identity and purpose, the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, governing the thoughts, feelings, and actions of the individual, and the body simply doing what it's told, a nation is no different. Each nation on our planet carries a unique, God-given identity and purpose. The government of that nation determines what the acceptable thought processes are, feelings and actions within that country, and the body, the people, have to deal with what the governance over them dictates. So just as every human child was designed to have a father who would identify, call out, and champion who they are, just as the original intent was for every child to have a father to provide for, to protect, and to empower them, nations need leaders who will do the same for them. Fast forward a couple of years, and I launched an initiative called Fathers Add Value, which focuses on creating a fatherful world for a fatherless generation through the belief empowerment process of choosing to trust, encourage, and champion the fatherless around you. After the initiative's launch, I immediately began to make connections and to work with multiple levels of government within our own nation, as well as connecting with government leaders in several other countries. Along this journey, I was appointed as a senior special advisor to the U.S. Global Leadership Council in Washington, D.C., giving me even greater levels of credible access across the globe. I'm looking forward to leveraging these connections on your behalf in future episodes, as I will have the pleasure of introducing you to men and women working in governments all over the world, and to bring you their encouraging stories of what the kingdom is up to in governments around the globe. You will often hear me reference the kingdom, and moving forward, I would like for us to share a common working definition of just what exactly the kingdom is. Too often the word kingdom just gets pasted over what the church has always done, and no actual change takes place. Now, this issue is simply the result of the lack of clarity as to what the kingdom actually is, or a lack of commitment to engaging it. Put as simplistically as possible, the kingdom of God is the establishment of the heart and authority of Father here on earth. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God is the establishment of the heart and authority of Father here on earth. From the beginning of time, man was created for dominion. You can hear this truth by eavesdropping on a conversation of the Trinity found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth." The Hebrew word there for dominion is the word rada, meaning to rule or to have dominion over. Listen, man was made for rulership, to govern the earth. The late, great Dr. Miles Monroe put it this way in his invaluable signature work, Rediscovering the Kingdom. God's original purpose and intent for the creation of man was to rule the seen from the unseen by living in the unseen of the seen who is on the scene. Or his less poetic version of the same statement, God's original intent was to rule the visible world from the invisible world. He would do this by the unseen spirit of God living within the spirit of man on the earth. When man fell, he lost his authority, or more accurately, he handed his authority over to Satan, submitting the world to the governance of the kingdom of darkness. However, Father would not allow his original intent to be lost, destroyed, or mocked, and he sent his Son to establish a new covenant with man. Purchasing the debt of sin from death, and once in ownership of that sin, choosing simply to forgive, taking authority back from Satan and reestablishing man in his rightful place of dominion. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15 says, "Because God's children were human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death." In short, Jesus did not come to bring a religion, which is an institutionalized system of beliefs and practices, which are implemented by groups or an individual in hopes of connecting with or pleasing God. No, Father was so pleased with who he created you to be and who he knows you can be that he sent Jesus to come and connect with you. And when Jesus came, he brought the original government, the kingdom, with him. Then once it was back in place in the Spirit, he put you back in your rightful place in it. As if that was not enough, Jesus then proceeded to extend an invitation to partner in a co-mission with his heart and authority, impacting all the nations of the world and the realms of influence therein with the end goal of making earth look like heaven. Come on, somebody. I'm going to break these last thoughts down a bit for you. Jesus came to connect with you, bringing the original government, the kingdom, with him. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7a. "For unto us is a child born, unto us is a son given. And the government," everyone say government, "the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government," the increase of his government and peace, "there will be no end." Once the kingdom, the heart and authority of God, was reestablished and made available in the Spirit, Jesus put you back in your rightful place in it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Then he extended an invitation to partner in a co-mission with his heart and authority, impacting all the nations of the world and the realms of influence therein. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20a. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of nations." To disciple means to teach and train. We are called to teach and train nations in the ways of God, in the art of expressing his heart and authority in a practical way here on earth. But listen to me. For too long, Christians have operated with one of two strategies. One, either they will barge in like the bullhorn guy on the corner, all condemnation, judgment, self-righteousness, and superiority, and guess who wants to listen to that? Nobody. Or two, they will try not to offend anybody to the point that they have no voice or influence whatsoever. Well, I am here, as Paul would say, to show you a more excellent way. If you want to have a place at the table of power in any government, all you need is one thing: answers. You have to have the answers. As my friend and ambassador at large to the country of Burundi, Dr. Clyde Rivers, once told me, solutions buy you a spot at the table. Solutions buy you a spot at the table. I always like to say, identifying the problem does not make you impressive. However, providing the solution makes you invaluable. You see, when I created Fathers Add Value, I found that doors began to open everywhere. I began to receive invitations on several governmental platforms to speak on the issue of fatherlessness. All over. Why? Because I was bringing a solution to a global problem in the form of my belief empowerment process. Now, as a kingdom believer, I had a choice to make on how I would carry the message into these meetings. Would it be wearing a Jesus t-shirt and handing out tracts? Or would it be in a suit, understanding protocol, speaking a language that people of power and influence understand, so that the heart of Father could be heard and received? This method is what I like to call the statesman approach. Now, a small percentage of people are not called to this approach. Keith Ferrante, for instance, goes in there laughing, violently shaking his head, and prophesying like a madman, and it works for him because he's leaking the love and joy of God in a crazy way, and he's a deadly accurate high-level prophet. That's how Father designed him and has chosen to use him. But if we're being honest, most of us are not on his level, and that approach is not going to work for us. Joseph shaved his face and changed his attire, Genesis 41:14, before he went to go stand before Pharaoh and brought a national solution in the form of dream interpretation. He carried himself like a statesman. The definition of a statesman is this: one versed in the principles or art of government, especially one actively engaged conducting the business of government or in shaping its policies, with wisdom, skill, and respect. I'm going to say that again. The definition of a statesman is this: one versed in the principles or art of government, especially one engaged conducting the business of government or in shaping its policies, with wisdom, skill, and respect. So if you are listening to this podcast today because you are interested in impacting the government mountain, I cannot stress the importance of engaging the process of becoming a true kingdom statesman enough. So what does that look like? I believe that a true kingdom statesman will walk in the following seven attributes: developed character, kingdom understanding, inherited wisdom, favor expectancy, prophetic skill, emotional intelligence, self-awareness. Let's start with character development. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." I always like to add, "but a man's character will keep him there." So ask yourself, are you congruent with who God has called you to be? Is your self-governance in place? Are you allowing the kingdom, the heart, and authority of God to be established in your thoughts, emotions, and actions? Are you an individual who can be trusted? Are you taking care of your family and friends? You must establish the kingdom within you and expand the kingdom around you before you can engage the kingdom on a mountain above you. I'm going to say that again. You must establish the kingdom within you and expand the kingdom around you before you can engage the kingdom on a mountain above you, or you will get taken out at the top. I prioritize character over this next essential simply because you have to have character in order to exemplify an intellectual grasp on the kingdom. Let me say that another way. If you have an intellectual grasp on the kingdom, but you do not possess the character to exemplify it in your own life, it really will have no effect. However, once good character has been established, the next step in becoming a true kingdom statesman is having a good grasp on kingdom understanding. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." His kingdom is where you belong. His righteousness is why you belong. Inside the kingdom, there are so many depths to the principles, protocols, procedures, and more. And the more that you understand and earn authority in these things, the more you will walk in divine power on the government mountain. I will be addressing many of these things in upcoming shows, so stay tuned for more on that. I'm also in production of trainings on the subject, both online and in some live event conference-style settings, so connect with me to stay aware of these opportunities. You can find multiple ways to connect with me by visiting the RUReal.org About Me page, which has all of our hosts' information. All right, so let's say your character is operating at a high state of congruence and you have an authentic understanding of kingdom principles, protocols, and procedures. The next thing to do is to invest in the stock of wisdom. When I was 11 years old, I remember I had just gotten saved a couple of weeks before. I was sitting on my bed reading the book of James, and I read chapter 1, verse 5, which states, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." For some reason, that promise connected with me on a level unlike any other that I had read, and it became the most consistent prayer that I have prayed throughout my life. Now I have seen it manifest as I do walk in a high level of innate wisdom, which I believe has been proven by the multiple positions that I hold in an advisory capacity. And if God can do it for me, he will do it for you. I always say you can either inherit or earn wisdom, and earning it's rough, so be smart. Inherit wisdom from God and others every chance you get. Begin to invest in the stock of wisdom by simply asking for it in faith, and Father will be faithful to his promise, and he will grant it to you. Character development, kingdom understanding, inherited wisdom. Next, I want to talk about living in a state of favor expectancy. Dr. Darius Daniels describes favor as unexplainable, undeserved, undeniable, preferential treatment. I'm going to say that again. Unexplainable, undeserved, undeniable preferential treatment that God uses to put us where we need to be, with who we need to be with, when we need to be there, so that we can do what he wants us to do. Come on, somebody. You would be blown away by the number of biblical characters who experienced the supernatural phenomena of favor on their journey of accomplishing their purpose. Scripture references the involvement of divine favor in the stories of Noah, Esther, Samuel, and Daniel, to name just a few, not to mention favor played a role in Jesus' life and ministry. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and men," which shows us that favor will find you coming directly from God or from God indirectly through people. My point is this: you need to familiarize yourself with the function of favor and choose to partner your faith with favor so that when God uses favor to position you in places that you never would have expected, in meetings that you don't feel qualified to be in the natural, talking to leaders who are operating at levels way above your pay grade, that you will not just stand there in shock, but that you will quickly identify favor is at work and settle in your heart that favor would never position you in a situation that you are not qualified or supernaturally prepared for. You are ready to release the kingdom into those situations. Familiarize yourself with the function of favor and live with the expectancy that it is always at work on your behalf, and that you will suddenly find yourself in unforeseen positions of influence. Character, kingdom, wisdom, favor. Now let's talk about the prophetic. The gift of the prophetic is the supernatural edge of the kingdom that the wisdom and knowledge of the most brilliant men on the planet cannot compete with. This makes learning how to hear God's voice an absolute must for a true kingdom statesman. At the top of every mountain, you will find spiritual advisors being employed, who work as mediums and psychics, because the world understands the power and value of having spiritual insight into matters of influence. You know what you will hardly ever find? A spiritual advisor who has actually tuned their ear to hear Father and discipline themselves to walk as a true kingdom statesman, so that they get invited into the meetings where decisions that shape nations are being made. And we have to change this. The definition of a prophetic word is simply this: a message from God through a person to another person. Accompanying the art of the prophetic word are the available gifts and skills of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. If you will work to transform these three gifts, the prophetic word, the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom, into skills, you will be equipped to express the heart of God in any situation. Listen, I get pulled into rooms to discuss topics that I have no natural knowledge about that carry dire consequences for people and nations. And if it was up to me, I would not be qualified to be in those rooms and a part of those discussions. But because I partner with Holy Spirit and He knows everything, I'm able to supernaturally speak into situations, bringing value and solutions to the table. The next step in the prophetic process is to train yourself to be able to have the option of sharing a prophetic word in a covert way. In other words, I don't just jump up and point and say, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shaltest notteth." No, I pull the Christianese out of it and just say, "Well, I feel like we should consider this or that approach." Dr. Lance Wallnau has some great teaching on that, by the way. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, promises us that Holy Spirit is able to teach us even in the moment what we need to say. I love that. So invest in yourself and develop the gift of the prophetic and get it as sharp, clear, and accurate as you can. I have training available for that as well. Again, you can connect with me at rureal.org on the About Me page. If you haven't figured it out, I am passionate about equipping a delegation of true kingdom statesmen to bring the kingdom to the government mountain. In this nation and in nations around the globe, men and women who are willing and able to put in the hard work to develop their character, grasp an elite level of understanding of the kingdom, invest in the stock of wisdom, get familiar with the expectancy of favor, hone their prophetic gifting and skill, and learn how to engage emotional intelligence. Learning to engage emotional intelligence is a skill that you must have when you find yourself at a table with highly influential, powerful people. It is my observation that the most powerful people that I meet are the ones who are succinctly aware of all the emotions and agendas in the room, and on top of that are fully congruent with their own agenda to the point that it makes the emotions of others or the emotions in the room of no consequence when it comes to determining their actions and words. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we should operate in this way. I'm simply saying we need to be aware that people in the room are operating in this way, and we should have the wherewithal to be able to maintain a state of discernment so that we can stay true to what Holy Spirit is saying to us in the moment. Learning how to engage emotional intelligence is so important. I'm going to close with this one. Being vulnerable enough to earn self-awareness. Earning self-awareness. This is the most underrated or overlooked step in the development of a true kingdom statesman, in my opinion. In fact, 99% of the time, I will not take anyone with me into high-pressure, high-stake governmental meetings. Why? Because you can take someone who normally knows how to carry themselves, put them in a situation like this, and all of a sudden they will act like an idiot because they do not have a firm grasp on the concept of emotional intelligence, or they do not possess the discipline of self-awareness. Self-awareness is a hard skill to earn because it requires an individual to be willing to trust, to be vulnerable, to receive 360 feedback, and to implement instruction. Most people, especially in Christian circles, have a really hard time doing this. But if you want to make the next cut in statesmanship, you have to be willing to do these things. First of all, you have to find someone who operates at high levels of influence on a regular basis and that you trust. Next, you have to request blunt, unapologetic, specific feedback from this individual on how you are perceived by others, how you carry yourself, what good traits you possess that you could be capitalizing on more, what your communication skills and inhibitors are, what personality strengths you need to tone down. This information is invaluable, and you should be willing and prepared to pay for it if necessary. It only gets harder after requesting the 360 feedback, as the next two steps entail receiving and implementing this feedback. Your pride will have to take a back seat, and discipline will have to co-pilot until the needed change becomes natural. This process is not for the weak, but then again, neither is kingdom work on the government mountain. While you are implementing self-awareness into your life, you can further your self-improvement by studying personality types and the skill of interacting with them, commonly known as the art of rapport. Understanding your own personality type, both its strengths and its weaknesses, is a worthwhile pursuit. I know this is a lot to take in, but if you have been called to impact the government mountain for the kingdom, you should expect nothing less. Again, seven attributes of a true kingdom statesman are developed character, kingdom understanding, inherited wisdom, favor expectancy, prophetic skill, emotional intelligence, and self-awareness. I hope that this has been beneficial to all of you, and that even if you are not called specifically to the government mountain, that you are walking away from this message with a greater understanding of the kingdom and at least one tool that you can implement into your specific calling. I'd love your feedback on today's episode, what topics piqued your interest, and what you, the audience, would like to hear more of in future episodes. You can find ways to connect with me directly, including all my social media handles, by visiting the About Me page at rureal.org, as well as find access to today's show notes, which will contain links to everybody whose work I've quoted or referenced today. While you are there, check out the other members of the Are You Real podcast family, like the Michael McIntyre and his proven dynamic insights on kingdom and business. I love that guy. Thanks so much for joining me today. Again, my name is Dub Alexander. That's D-U-B-B Alexander. And with that, and until next time, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been Real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government? For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit rureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government?